Welcome to the Library Advisory Commission meeting of Monday, October 2nd, 2023. Chair Lori Goodman will be participating remotely due to illness interfering with her ability to be in person. Chair Goodman?
Hello, good evening. I want to start by stating that I am in a room that with a closed door and that there is no one over 18 in the room with me. There's also nobody under 18 in the room with me. And with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order and we can begin with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Janet, can you do the roll call?
Yes. Chair Goodman?
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Present.
Commissioner Caldi?
Present.
Commissioners Drake and Callanan are absent.
All righty. At this time, the public has the ability to comment on any non-agenda item. Do we have any public comment today?
Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
All righty, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar, A1, and I'll call for approval of the Library Advisory Commission meeting minutes of Monday, August 7th, 2023. Can someone make a motion to approve?
I will make the motion to approve.
I will second that motion.
All right, Janet, can we do a roll call vote?
Yes, Chair. Chair Goodman?
I'm going to abstain. I was not at the August 7th meeting.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Caldi?
Aye.
Alrighty, the approval, I believe, passes even because we have a majority of who's here. So let's move on to B1 and we'll receive the director's report.
So good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Library Advisory Commission. It's with great honor I get to introduce Ms. Diane Satchwell in person, giving her first director's report. This is typical of previous Library Advisory Commission meetings. It's a summary of most of the activities, programs, events that have taken place over the last period of time. And with that, I'll introduce Ms. Satchwell, who's seated to my right. And I think she's going to unmute. And there we go.
It's a privilege to be here. I just wanted to highlight a few of our things that we did. We had our all-staff meeting, and it's sort of the launch for our strategic planning process, and that was very excited. The staff had a lot of really constructive things to contribute, and I'll be reporting that out as we move along with our strategic plan. Also, just to highlight some of the things that the library offers that people may not know about, California National Parks, we have passes. So it's a really great thing to stop by with your library card. It's free. This summer, we had a phenomenal response to our summer reading program, as you can see on the statistics. And we're doing a lot of moving forward, getting some programs, Buellton, Solvang, and the Goleta Valley Library. We're working together to sort of harmonize what we do. There's a lot of activities, so please check our calendar on the website for the different activities that are coming up. And with that.
Great, wonderful. And as Ms. Satchwell indicated, the staff report covers a lot of the statistics that might be of interest to our commissioners as well as the public. We're just very thrilled in general to see visits up, circulation up, obviously trending, rebounding back from the COVID years, and really just illustrating the hunger for people to come and take advantage of all the wonderful resources available to them through our library. And with that, I think we're done unless any of the commissioners have any specific questions they'd like to ask.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question. If you could just explain a little bit more about the grant for the Zip Book Program. I just want to know more about what that is.
This is a really fun project. The State Library provides funding around California to libraries to provide an expeditious way to receive books. So if you go on our website, you don't find the book in either Black Gold or at the Goleta Valley Library, you click on a button, it takes you to Amazon, you choose that item. There are some restrictions that, as we get to the zip book policy. Then staff approve it, and it goes directly to your home so that it doesn't, you don't have to wait for any new books or other items of that nature, especially if you have a specific interest. Zip books are great. And it really helps our collection as well, because then we can determine if that book will be added to our collection. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much. That does answer my question.
And then I'll just highlight again, it's free. Free. Free in the sense, no cost to the actual borrower. Obviously, that funding does come from the state of California, from the state library. So we do want to point that last year was around $17,500 or so that was used during the Zip Book program. We expect that to continue for this year going forward. We're very excited to continue that program. It served a lot of people well. And then we'll, as Ms. Satchwell said, we'll be getting to a policy to make sure that when it is operating, we've had a kind of a pilot program to see how it operate this first go around. We're trying to tighten some things up, and we'll cover that in an agenda item later on in today's agenda. Any other further questions? Okay, wonderful. I don't know if we have to take a vote to accept or anything. No, right? Okay.
Okay. Do we need public comments on the time for public comments on the director's report?
Yes, Chair Goodman.
Okay, if there is any public comment on the director's report.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item, please use the raise your hand icon now and unmute yourself. Yeah. Chair Goodman, we have a public comment from, I believe, Walker. Walker Colston. Mr. Colston, could you unmute?
I take a look at it. All right, sorry, now I'm unmuted. Anyway, thank you very much. I just wanted to ask if this report, does it live on the website? I was kind of looking for it as a link under the agenda. It looks like great results. It's very exciting.
Yes, Mr. Colston. So our agendas are actually hyperlinked to the items. So if you go to the agenda, you can hyperlink to this. It'll download as a PDF for you to look at. So if you have any questions after the meeting and you want to, somehow aren't able to access it correctly, please let us know and we'll make sure that that gets to you. But historically, that's how we've done it to make it available to the public.
All right. Thank you very much. My family just moved back to Goleta after many years, so very excited to be here.
All right. Welcome back to the good land.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Well, we've got a number of discussion and action items, but the first one, C1, we are going to table because we don't have the full commission here today. So I'd like to table the selection of a vice chair to our February is our next meeting. If there are no objections from the commission.
And then Chair Goodman, just for the record, I'm just going to reference it as agenda item C1 so that we have it in the minutes that the request is to table this item to a future commission meeting.
Perfect. Can I move on? We will move on to item C2, strategic planning.
Yeah, so again, I just wanted to take a moment to thank Ms. Satchwell for, hitting the ground running. She started with us mid-July, I believe. It was like the July 19th. And she's been doing a phenomenal job so far in terms of assessments for the Goleta Valley Library. She touched upon the all-staff meeting, and another principal area of focus that she's been charged with has been coming up with a strategic plan for the city of Goleta, Buellton Solvang Libraries going forward. Typically, we look at five-year periods. It's hard to plan, kind of beyond that. And she has done a phenomenal job beginning the outreach, getting feedback from people in different settings and from different segments of our population. So I'm very thrilled at the progress being made so far. And so I think this evening, Ms. Satchwell is going to just give a little bit of background on what she's been doing and what approach she's taking to kind of bring the commission along and let the public know what that process is going to look like going forward.
So it was so exciting. I was at the Lemon Festival Saturday and Sunday, ergo yellow nails. And I put up a storyboard, which I'll explain in a little bit, and you could not even see the white from the board, from how interested the community was in sharing their high interest, what they felt was important. It was a wonderful experience. It just shows how engaged this community is and how much they do treasure their library. So moving forward, we will, after this meeting, really take off, and I'll be looking at the commissioners for their participation. We'll be doing public listening sessions with actual forums. The surveys we're still sort of working on a little. And storyboards, we are going to be placing around the community. And what a storyboard is, they have five areas of interest. Reaching young learners, focusing on technology, interactive exhibits, the collection, and, of course, technology. And those just are very general. There's nothing specific on them, but it gives you a visual of what that looks like. We'll be doing one-on-one interviews, which is what I'm hoping to get your participation. We're looking at as many different groups, communities, organizations, individuals, president of the chamber, principals at schools, anyone that has either profit, nonprofit. And we're hoping that by doing that, we can really gather who the community is in Goleta. The process that we're going to use is SOAR. It's strengths, opportunities, aspirations, and results. It's a very positive, forward moving. And you're probably going to get so tired of me saying this, but we are so focused on moving forward. Who is Goleta? What is it in the Goleta Library that we need to do? So we're really focused on our community and moving forward and being very positive. So strengths, ask what we can build on. Opportunities, ask what our stakeholders are asking for. Aspirations, ask what we care deeply about. And the results are, how do we know that we're succeeding? As I mentioned, we did an all-staff, and we already collected the data on our all-staff. And what I'm going to be asking the commission to participate in is the one-on-one interviews. There is an attachment in the packet where we ask critical questions, hoping to delve. We don't want actually to say, what do you like about the library? What don't you like about the library? It's more, tell us about your community. Tell us about the people in your organization so that we can really identify our demographics. We ask, and even though COVID was 2020, there's still a lot that happened. Your neighbors, maybe your neighborhood changed. In one group that I have done this process, they created a garden in their yard. So when people would walk by, they could pull tomatoes and carrots and all kinds of things, just so they had some connection. So with that, if we could look at the attachment, the one-on-one questionnaire. It does ask for who is the interviewee, what is the organization. We're looking at the city or region because we know that we provide service beyond Goleta, so that it's not Goleta specific, but it's who are our users, and most important, who our non-users are. I ask that we work together as a team to build the contact list so that we're not being repetitive in who we're pursuing. I'll finish up, and then if anybody has any specific questions, we can go back. So I think partnerships are really important, and if there's any that you have developed, I'd really like us to focus on who we can tap into for our partnerships and building on those. I'm looking to staff to also participate in one-on-one interviews, and also council members, since they have many contacts in the community. And that is about the end of the strategic plan. It's in a nutshell. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I have a question, and then Marco, sorry, it's hard for me to see. But my question, I'm not clear on when you say you want us to participate in interviews, if what you mean by that is you want us to be interviewed, or if you want us to conduct interviews on behalf of the library.
That is a great question. Thank you very much. It's actually both. I probably will be the one that reaches out to each of you to answer the questions, but I'm also asking that you conduct interviews. You're in the community, you're community members, you're very active, and you would know those individuals. And then we'll create a sheet of who you want to add, and just to make sure we don't hit somebody up more than once. And then once those interviews are done, then you would send those forms to me. Is that a clarification? It was a great question.
And Marcus, did you have a question?
That was going to be my same question.
I need to rewrite my report.
No, and I think part of the reason we want to do it, and there's a number of reasons, right, is that people are typically more responsive to inquiries when it's people they know, trust, or see a direct linkage. And all of our commissioners are active, right, in different areas of the community and with different communities. So we want to take advantage of that and have that kind of trust already kind of built into the instrument, assuming that all the commissioners are happy to partake in that process. I think it does a lot to, you know, have people want to participate if they can actually see their information being used at the end of the process, I guess is how I'd place it.
And if I can just add one more piece, I will be sending copies of this to your city email and providing more detail and keeping you updated through your city email.
And my follow-up question is there a time frame for this that you want these interviews completed by?
Well, I'm the interim library director, so I think we're going to move at a very fast pace. I'm still working on that timeline, but my goal is to be able to hand something to Jaime by December 31st of this year.
And I think we've been talking about being a little bit more open with that end date for two reasons. One, we see the value in doing this right and not just right away. And then secondly, and probably equally as important, that plays into as we start getting into the end of the year, people are busy with holidays and school things and events and travel. And it's never a good idea to ask people their opinion on things when they're trying to get out the door or trying to, wrangle whatever they have to do for the coming week. So we want to make sure that it's a good use of people's time and it's an effective and reliable source of information and not get a response rate that's, 3% and it's, probably one-sided. So I think that's open-ended. I think Ms. Satchel will provide a little bit better schedule information as we think it through. But if need be, we want to make sure we get it right. And if that means it trickles into January, February, I certainly don't think it's something that should be rushed.
Thank you. Any other questions from the commissioners?
Yeah, I have a question. How many interviews are you hoping to conduct?
My goal is 50. Okay. We've done as many as 200 in other cities that I've done. But I think with the population size and hitting those key elements, I'm hoping to get a minimum of 50. So that's why I'm looking to the members of the commission as well as council staff so that we can touch as many of those organizations as possible.
Have you conducted any already?
No, I was waiting. I felt it was really important to introduce this to the commission first and just have a discussion with it, seeing if there was anything that was missing. Because yesterday at the Lemon Festival, I had some Gen Zers and some millennials say, "So what role do we play?" So it really made me start to think. And the more conversations you have, I think we'll start seeing there might be some pockets that I need to fill in. And with the flexibility of the city, I'm happy to go beyond December 31st. So that's the goal. But it is sort of a moving target. As Jaime said, it's more important we do it right than rush the timeline.
You mentioned conducting one-on-one interviews in different cities in a different context. I'm curious what some of the results of those interview processes have been. Like, what changes did they lead to in that library system, for example?
It's really all over the board. One of the things that surprised me, we actually interviewed teens. And their fear was their suicide rate had increased. And what could we do in our community to do a preventative measure, because they did not have anything for the teens to reach to. We also had senior organizations that we reached out to, and we ended up doing multicultural activities where the seniors were teaching the teens how to knit and crochet beanies for babies. Mm. And then they went to the hospitals with them. But they learned a lot from each other by having those conversations. So that's why I think it's important that we keep it as high global level as possible, because then it opens up the doors to so many opportunities for programs. And those are just two small examples.
Yeah. No, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that and for bringing this idea. I'm fired up. I can't wait. What's a good way to collaborate? How do you envision us building that contact list and collaborating moving forward?
Well, I don't want to flood your mailboxes, but there will. I have a master Excel sheet, and I'll be reaching out to each of you saying, who right off the top of your head would you like to talk to? And then create a commission list and coordinate with council, because there might be some turnover. And just keep building on it, communicating with each other, making sure that we are hitting first five, as well as our assisted living, as well as our college students, and really taking as far out as we can go. Because Goleta Valley Library does provide library services to a very large area. It's not specific to Goleta. So we're looking at that. Does that fully answer your question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Do we have, at this point, any public comment about the strategic planning process?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and I will call on you. I see no public comment, Chair Goodman.
All righty. In that case, let's move on to item C3, the zip book policy and procedure.
So one of the tasks that I've been asked to do is to look at all of our policies and procedures. And so during our all-staff meeting, I created a section for them to put post-its and asked them to share what they felt were critical policies and procedures to look at. And as Jaime had mentioned, our zip book was a pilot program. So last year, we realized that we needed to sort of create a sense of guidelines. And staff have come up with saying that, you have three items out at a time. And when those are returned, because again, the theory, the book goes directly to you from Amazon. There is a record at the library of who has what books. Then you bring that book to the library and we can put it in the collection or not. So at the time, you can only have three out at any one time. We're trying to be good stewards of the grant funding. There's already a procedure in place at the library for lost books. If an item is not returned, we can add that to their record so that we can retrieve the funds. We also were hoping to have the opportunity to expand this a little bit. Staff loves this program. They think it's of great value. And having it online, we have our book van, which can pick up books for those, especially in our senior facility. They can't get to the library, so we'll be utilizing the book van for pickup. But the main points that I really wanted the board to give, the commission to give recommendations, that we do limit the books to three, because it currently you can get three every month, five every month, and there's no limit. So we're discovering that it's a good policy to keep that down to three for the total, not three per month. We also want to say that you can't hold the item for more than 6 months, because now it's indefinite. And then we do have a policy in place for replacement fees and lost books. And so that's already approved, and we would just add zip books to that line item. Does anyone have any questions? Any points of clarification?
If I could just add real briefly on this item, it's kind of the tragedy of the commons argument when there's not necessarily penalty for bad behavior or less than optimal behavior, if you want to be positive. We do want to make this program work really well, and we really want to have great numbers. We also are wary of the amount of time it takes for staff to review these requests, and we want to make sure it works for 95% of our users and more if possible. But we also don't want the very few to take make drastic impacts of this program that it kind of relegates it to kind of fraud, and that's not really what we're in the business for. So typically libraries try to be less punitive where they can, and this is just kind of a small control to try to, again, try to meet the purpose and intent of the program, but also serve the program well so that we continue to get grant funding and we're able to continue to offer this program in the future.
Marcus, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. So I was just going to ask, and it sounds like this might be true, but are patrons regular, like, do we have a regular breaking of the, like, this previous version of the policies, like regular items that are not being returned when they are, like, is this a fairly common issue we're having right now?
It's not a lot, but we were starting to see a pattern where every month 5 books were being requested and we weren't seeing the 5 books coming back. And so we thought, just to be, you know, in line with our other policies in the library, it made sense to say, we need to keep this so that everyone can share the books. It's a good use of funds. The state library really gives latitude to the libraries as to how they want to structure the program. And a lot of our neighbors in Black Gold, they have also started instituting these guidelines as well.
This is a clarification question. So is it 3 books at one? Like, you're allowed 3 books out at one time, and if you return one, then you can order another one? Or is it 3 books total for the year?
It's you can have 3 books at any one time. You return one, then you can order one. Return 3, you can order 3.
I think it's a very reasonable policy. It feels aligned with the rest of the policies to me. So I'm in favor of this. Are there more questions or comments from our commissioners? Marcos.
Yes, I'll share similarly. When I read through these recommended changes, I support all of them. I feel like they are equitable, and they reach the goal of also encouraging more users to regularly use this program rather than a few folks to take advantage of the program. I think 3 items at a time is plenty of materials to look at. I'm also really glad that the budget for the per items is so high. So I saw that there was an item can go up to $75 if it's on CD or $50 if it's a print material. $50 in print or large print formats. That's amazing. That opens a door to a lot of interesting purchases that we might not hear about otherwise. So I'm in full support of this, and I'm excited to tell more people about this program and hopefully build a wider network of users.
I also agree that it sounds reasonable, but I do have questions because I think the people who would most benefit from a ZIP program are folks who may not have the disposable income to go out and buy it in the first place. So my question is really around what the fees entail, like just generally, what does somebody owe if they lose a book? And this question is really coming from a place of curiosity. You know, if we were to implement this policy, would it disincentivize a family from participating in the program out of a fear that they may not be able to meet the financial obligation should they lose it?
This is in line with our current policies. So we don't charge fines. We're a fine-free library. So, but we do, if you lose a book, there is a cost. And it's typically the cost of the book. You know, there's always opportunity for conversation. We really enjoy, as librarians, to always be equitable and make sure that everyone has an opportunity to check out books. There are opportunities for the commission to look at ideas that we would have. If you feel that there's barriers for individuals, if there's a fine-free, fee-free day, you know, once a year, but that typically could get you in trouble if it's a consistent thing, then people sort of take advantage of that. So you have to balance it. I've always found that if you approach it with, here's the guidelines, but then have a conversation. And usually librarians are very reasonable. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it does. Thank you.
I would also just want to point out to the public or anyone who's planning on using the revised zip book policy, we had the same practice previously, or the current practice, so this would be included. But just a reminder that the return of the books may be hard to remember, but it would be to bring it to the circulation desk and not just drop it in the regular book returns. So I think as part of, you know, maybe as part of the procedures for notifying people that their book is ready, you know, you can put a reminder, but oftentimes the reminders are very fleeting and people forget. So we don't necessarily want to be, again, punitive about it, but just a reminder that folks, that because this is a different system, we don't treat it exactly the same as all the other books because it's coming from a different source. So hopefully people, you know, it's not that big deal to remember and can do that. It just really helps us with inventory control.
Before we call for a vote, is there any public comment on the zip book policy?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and I will call on you. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
All right. Well, I would like to make a motion that we accept the zip book policy as written in the attachment. If we need to make a motion here.
That'd be helpful for the record.
Okay, I will make the motion. Do I have someone to second it?
I will second that motion.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Caldi?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Let us move on. We got a lot of policies today. To C4, the display and exhibit policy.
So, well, you know, one of my tasks was to review the policies. So you'll be a very busy commission. Staff is going to be thrilled that you recommended passing the zip book. So thank you for that. So now we have display and exhibit. We just wanted to sort of clean it up a little bit. We didn't really have a procedure in place when somebody wanted to display or exhibit anything. So I've been working with the Goleta Valley Art Association, and they have agreed that if we have an art exhibit, they would be happy to jury it and make sure it fell under guidelines that they use. So they've become a great partner to work with. The other part that's come up, we were rephrasing our forms. We're not using reconsideration. That has been sort of a difficult piece for libraries. They've been challenged. So if somebody wants to oppose a book and you have a reconsideration, the majority of legal issues have come, well, it's a reconsideration, so you're going to pull the item. So the majority of my colleagues have now changed it to statement of concern. So it doesn't obligate the library to immediately pull the item. And it's the bigger piece is that if it goes beyond the library director for a debate, that it would come to the commission. And the commission would then review the concern and then make a decision as to if the exhibit or the display is not acceptable. And it's very popular. We have a lot of people that want to utilize our space. And then the other piece is that we just wanted to make it a little cleaner for staff so that they don't have to take the applications in July and then we have a vacant spot. So if we do it in May, it gives us time to have somebody come and have a display so that it's not empty. So it's just little minor cleanups like that for this one.
I think I would just add on the statement of concern. This has become a growing issue in libraries across the country, less so in our area, and I'll knock on wood for now, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen or happen more often in the foreseeable future. It may sound like just a nomenclature change, but really I think making it clear that everyone has a right to have a concern and make that statement known, the reconsideration implies that by submitting a form that the library will actively try to reconsider why it put it there, right? And so what we want more of is a process that is fair, but not urgent and poignant to the fact where it's people expect a result within minutes or days, but that it's done in a way that's systematic, it's transparent, and then ultimately we're trying to use the best judgment of our librarians for collection development and for offering a number of different viewpoints to different people, and that's oftentimes what one of the critical parts of a library is. So for the public who may not be following the news, we want to actually bring this to their attention so that they can see that this is a real concern, but also, too, to really help lay the foundation for people to remind themselves, okay, well, as a library, it's one of our, tenets of good practice to have lots of different things out there, and not everyone's going to embrace them, and that's okay, but we also want to make sure that we don't just kind of cower to one or two individuals that show up with a list and maybe have never even been inside the walls of our library before. So didn't want to get on a political, tangent, but I think it's important. I think you'll see more and more of this if you haven't already become commonplace. And it's unfortunate because our library shouldn't really be a battleground for those types of interactions.
I have a question about I appreciate the statement of concern form and the the flow of how one would submit that. I have no objections to that, even though it might mean that I'm the one who gets the statement of concern form, which will make me see red probably. But I am curious about how the decision is made about what gets displayed. Is it only art that gets displayed? Is it the art, the Goleta Valley Art Society that makes all the decisions, or is there some other way that the displays get chosen?
So there actually is a process with staff they receive all the applications, and there's a wide variety of what is in the display case or what is in the exhibit. It's not just the Goleta Valley Art Association. We have so many interesting, talented people. It could be a textile exhibit. Every Christmas they do trains for the theme in the display case. We do have some repeat individuals because of the high interest, but it does go to the staff. There are two people that review them. They bring those to the director. The director reviews them and then will approve. The most important thing is how diverse can we be, you know, not having the same theme month after month after month. So staff takes a lot of time and care in their decision making, and then the director makes the final decision. I invited the Goleta Valley Art Association in because of their expertise, and they have guidelines already established. So if we had an art exhibit, they have been willing to come in and help us jury that, because that's not exactly our area of expertise.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. I missed that. And as I'm looking more carefully, I see that now. Are there other questions or comments? Marcos.
Yes, I wanted to understand the steps between somebody authoring a statement of concern, and then I'm sure it's not an immediate process in which it goes directly to this commission. I'm sure there's some other steps. What are those other steps before we would have that conversation?
Sure. So the first step is staff would take and hand the, well, first you have a conversation with the librarian, and I feel strongly that it should be the librarian. And we now have a new children's librarian. So we have Elizabeth and Kaylee. If there's still, if there's still concern, then they would fill out the statement of concern and it would go to the library director. The library director would then review their concern, have a conversation, see if it couldn't be worked out. Maybe it's just a misunderstanding. I mean, there's so many different things. It could be just a point of inform. Then if there's still an issue, then it's fair for the public to have another step. And since the Library Advisory Commission is typically individuals who have a passion for the library, who understands the mission and vision, then the commission would then review it. And then it would go back to the library director. And as the statement says, if there's any concern and it passes everything and everybody agrees that it's appropriate, it can't be revisited for a period of time. Have I answered your question?
Yes, you very much have answered my question. I definitely feel support of those policy changes. One comment I want to kind of share on the exhibition, you mentioned the interest of like kind of have like a, not like, you want to have a serious rotation of different themes. In my previous job at the UCSB library, I was the space manager of our ethnic and gender studies collection, and so I did a lot of display work. And there, due to the nature of the collection, we drew mostly on cultural heritage months, and that became very easy to find different things that different individuals in the community were very excited about and wanted to carry the mission forward, and it became a really rewarding time for me to interact with our users and to include our users in the process of the display, and they got to see themselves in the library more, which is one of those concepts that I know that all libraries are moving towards. So that's just a friendly suggestion, something that was fun for me as a library employee previously, but can become a lot of work. But it's a good way to interact with the user too, and get them to, you know, really interact with the behind the scenes part of how a library functions.
And that's Excellent. I will definitely share that with staff. They really would like to see as much variety as possible. So the themes, that's an excellent way to look at it. Thank you. And you can also make recommendations to those individuals to contact the local library.
All right. Any other comments from the commission, questions or comments? Okay. Before we make a motion, are there any comments from the public on the statement of concern display and display and exhibit policy?
If there are any members of the public wishing to make a public comment or any comments to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and I will call on you. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
All right. Would someone else like to make a motion to accept the display and exhibit policy?
I will make a motion to accept the display and exhibit policy.
All righty.
I will second that motion.
Thank you.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Caldy?
Aye.
All right. The item passes. And we are moving on to C5, our last decision making, multi-purpose room policy and procedure.
So again, I appreciate your time and attention to these new policies. So the multi-purpose room, which I would love to change the name to community room. So I just wanted to put that out there. But we're again looking at, you know, the statement of concern and making sure that we're consistent in our policies, that we are transparent. And I didn't mention, and I should have, that our policies are put on our website so that everyone does understand what they can and can't do. We have a lot of requests to use this room. We also have to be mindful that we do have our displays and up during that time. We try to limit so it doesn't become a constant every single week. Somebody can plan. I've been in one job where we had this beautiful room and people were constantly getting ahead of the game and they had it for months at a time. And they actually had business cards with our library address on it. So, you know, we want to be very mindful to keep it as open, available, again, having as much variety as possible. And the one piece that's been missing is to rekey the facility, because sometimes we do have users out of our open hours. And if there are lost keys, we have to carry the burden of that funding to have the building rekeyed. So I've highlighted that we'd like to add that to the use, as well as keeping in mind that, you know, again, the statement of concern. That's just the real quick version.
And so Ms. Satchel did a nice job of summarizing, but the actual documents themselves are tagged, so it's easy to follow along, which is, I always like track changes to be able to quickly go where you need to go. But this, again, is an iterative process. We were here before the LAC back in March and went to City Council. So City Council may look at us a little sideways when we come back to them again, but I think it's always a good thing to revisit policies with a fresh set of eyes, and Ms. Satchel has done a great job of going back and looking and comparing, right, to other organizations that she's worked for, to try to get that right balance of making it available, but also not making it too available to the same group over and over again. So I think direct you to page 2 of the policies to see the main changes. We think they're reasonable. We think they're within good practice. And then we also included the reservation form just to see, so people can kind of see what it looks like. We try to make it not too over complicated, but essentially at the end of the day, we want people to know what they're getting into, be respectful, and return the room to a condition that mimics how they received it. Doesn't always happen. And again, we're not trying to be punitive, but it's a lot easier to have a conversation when you show someone's signature on a piece of paper that they agreed to do these things.
I certainly remember working on this policy in March and appreciate what it means when you have a new person coming in with fresh eyes and recognizing you have a few more little kinks to work out. So I want to thank you for doing that work, Ms. Satchwell. And I want to ask if anyone on the commission has any questions, comments.
I have a question about the point number 10, groups cannot reserve the room before opening hours of operation. I'm curious if it would make sense to have like an exception clause, like unless prior approval from the director, just in case there's a group that wants to use the space on a holiday or when the library's closed, that this policy wouldn't preclude that outright.
I think we can take that under consideration. I'd feel a little uncomfortable just saying yes without talking to some of the library staff. One of the concerns we have with making this facility available is obviously scheduling and getting people to be there. We don't want to get call outs from the sheriff's office that an alarm was set off, those kinds of things. They're really good about it, but last thing we want is to create another additional workload for another organization. But I'm looking to Ms. Satchwell if she wants to add anything to that, but we can certainly take that. I think making that statement wouldn't be a hard thing to do. We just, if the director doesn't think it's a good idea, then we can't. But if there's an exception once in a while, I think we'd like to be able to consider that. One thing we want to do is with the community center being under construction and, folks looking for additional space, we've had to pivot and try to help folks find space where they might not necessarily have looked at previously. So we've been able to do that kind of unconventionally and be able to offer the library kind of on a temporary basis while this construction is being done in Old Town. However, for the hours of operations before, I think typically it's easier after, and I'm not sure exactly why, but I think there's a deposit that you can leave after versus like starting the building up in the morning. So I don't know if Ms. Satchwell has anything to add. She may or may not.
I always have an opinion about something. I have been talking with the attorneys, and one of the things they suggested, especially because of the community center, is in a year, every year, looking over these policies and seeing if we can't somehow work together with other city agencies and make it more consistent. So what I would suggest is that I make that recommendation to be considered when the next review process comes up. And once the community center has had a little taste of what they're going to do, as Jaime said, we have made some exceptions. But I would definitely be in favor of putting this for the next review process as a suggestion, if that's satisfactory.
It sure is. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the commission? Do we have any public comment at this time?
If any member of the public wishes to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and I will call on you. I see no speakers, Chair Goodman.
All right, in that case, I will make a motion to approve the revised language to the multipurpose room policy and procedure and to change the name to community room.
I will second that motion.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Caldy?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. We are getting toward the finish line, folks. This way we'll move on to D, any future agenda items that we haven't already discussed. We know that we are going to be placing the selection of a vice chair onto a future agenda, but is there anything else that anyone on the commission would like to add to a future agenda? All right. Do I need to ask for public comment for that too?
If you'd like, Chair.
Sure. Anyone in the public want us to talk about anything else?
If any members of the public wish to speak to any item or any future agenda items, please use the raise your hand icon and I will call on you. I see no public speakers, Chair Goodman.
All righty. In that case, we will adjourn this meeting at 7:02. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.